Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're joined by Stephen J. Anderson, a sought-after speaker, author, entrepreneur, and agent for creating Where People Mean Everything, a customer service culture in organization. As the founder of over a dozen businesses, including the Total Patient Service Institute, Crown Council, Dental Warranty Corporation, and many others, he has propelled organizations and individuals to the highest levels of performance and productivity. Anderson has been named Businessman of the Year by Excellence in Dentistry and has been an Entrepreneur of the Year finalist. And Mr. Anderson, a pleasure to have you today on EPN.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Great to be with you.
Yeah, really appreciate your time and looking forward to hearing from you. You bring a lot of experience to the program. So first of all, why in this time of change, bad and good, impacting millions of people and their careers and lives, did you decide to write on this particular topic, service in business and in life? Why is this important and why right now?
So great question, Eric. In the environment in which we are living now, there is so much division and so much going on, not only in the political world that has then crept into the business world. It is time to get back to the things that really matter, which is all of us in some way, shape, or form are in the business of service. A business only survives if it effectively serves other people. And so this entire work that we call the Bicycle Book, it 12 Secrets of Serving Others in Business and Life, is a little bit of a throwback in history. It was couched in the story. We call it a biographical business novel, but the story of my first business, which was a paper route. Back in the days, Eric, when news was delivered in actual newspapers, which we don't see much anymore, but at age 12, I say I went to business school because not only did I have a paper route, which was an independent proprietorship I was an independent distributor for the newspaper company, but I was doing it under the tutelage of my father, who ran the largest ad agency in the Western United States his whole career. And so I had nightly lessons in customer service and customer satisfaction and all things making a business successful around our dinner table every night. So practical application along with the lessons. And what I've found, Eric, is that I have gone back over the years in every business that I've been involved with, going back to key principles that I learned back around that dinner table in my very, very first business. They are timeless and as important today, maybe even more important for any business than they have ever been.
Well, when you started talking about a paper route, having one when you were younger, I certainly went back in time. I also had a paper route. It started around 14 years old, had it for about 3 or 4 years and enjoyed every minute of it. In fact, I learned so much about life and business and work ethic just having that paper route.
Eric, which of the following people had as one of their first business ventures a paper route? Here's your choices. Walt Disney, Martin Luther King Jr., Tom Cruise, or Warren Buffett?
I'm going to say Warren Buffett on that.
You're correct. In fact, all of them are correct. One of their very first work ventures was doing exactly the same thing that you did and I did, learning some of those same lessons.
Well, you learn something every day, and that is pretty awesome to hear how all of them had a paper route as well. Good stuff. Now, how did your dad influence your philosophy about business and service? And tell us a little bit about your father.
So he, like I said, he ran the largest ad agency in the United States, and he coined one of his accounts that he had for decades was one of the largest banks in the Western United States. And he coined a phrase early on in his relationship with them. It was the name of the bank, Where People Mean Everything. And so customer service was, they hung their hat on that benefit of customer service. Anybody can take your money, but it's how you serve the people that makes a big difference. And so that was his service promise that he gave to the bank. And And so he reinforced with me this importance of, and one of the first lessons is establishing a service promise. What is it that you propose to do, that you promise to do for your customers? And what we lay out in the book is that you're not in the business of the product or service that you're trying to provide as much as you're in the business of serving people by way of the product that you provide. So Howard Schultz, for example, the founder of Starbucks, reinforced this principle with his team and still does, is that they're not in the business of serving coffee, they're in the business of serving people, and by way of serving coffee. There's a difference in terms of what you put first. And so just as one quick example of how critical that is the promise comes first, and then you got to deliver on that promise. And so at an early stage of the game, he took me over to the bank. We opened up my bank account for the paper routes, and I was pretty jazzed. I'm this 12-year-old up-and-coming business person. And the first time I went to the bank alone with my big stack of checks after having done my collections for the month, and I walked in my mind, cutting the figure of a very successful business person. What they saw was a 12-year-old kid coming in with newspaper smudged clothes, and they treated me like less than a people. And I went home and I told my dad that I had had less than a great experience at the bank, where people mean everything. And what he shared with me that night, Eric, about this one principle, I'm going to quote from the book, and this is what he said. He said, you know, if that's the customer experience, the one that I had, they might be better off without the slogan. Sometimes, and this is the key, sometimes no marketing, no advertising, no promotion is better than the most creative, high-impact campaign. Sometimes doing nothing is better. And then he finished it by saying, when the experience falls short and the business does not live up to its words and the image it projects, the damage can be more serious than any amount of advertising can repair. In other words, it's an inside-out proposition. Before you propose to put out what you are, you got to make sure that you are that on the inside, and that you're delivering on that promise on a regular basis. It takes both to make it happen.
That is really some solid information right there. And I'm sure you've grabbed the attention of the audience with all this info so far. Now, one lesson in the bicycle book jumped right out because it's unexpected, to say the least. It's a moment that feels like a catastrophe when it happens, that your dad shows you what is an opportunity for a major win in customer relations. And how in the world is breaking a nice lady's window good, now bad? And what's the takeaway for people in business here and now from all this?
So this was a couple months into my experience, and I'd gotten pretty good, as you remember, Eric. You know, you figured out how to toss those papers one-handed, keep another hand on the on the handlebars, and I had cut down my route time at about half of what I did when I first started. And there was one particular house that was challenging because they had built in the porch, where the porch used to be was now a built-in patio. And so there's about a 6-inch step in front of the door that I had hit, and I couldn't throw it too fast or too hard because it would dent the aluminum screen door. But if I didn't put enough spin on it, then it would fall short and I'd have to stop. And so that was if I could hit that one, that was the crowning event of the day. And one particular day, either I wasn't paying attention or something, and I threw it a little too hard. And not only did I throw it too hard, but it went right through the window next to the door. So there I am, this terrified 12-year-old kid. And as you remember, you know, the biggest fear you have as a 12-year-old is getting in trouble. And so with great fear and trembling, I went and knocked on the door, and the very nice lady was, very understanding, and said, you know, I'm surprised it hasn't happened before, and I promised to pay for it. In fact, I even offered to leave my bike as collateral, which she said was not necessary, but we got it all fixed. And so I went home that night, and I was discussing what I did and the apology and offering to pay, and my dad's response, he said, so you did the right thing. And I said, yeah, I did the right thing. I apologized. I'm going to pay for it. And he said, so it was good. And I said, yeah, yeah, it was good. And he said, well, what if it were more than good? If it were more than right? And I had no clue what he was talking about. He said, what you did was the right thing. You apologized, you offered to pay for the repair. But he said, think now what she's out. She's out the inconvenience of having to call the repair shop, having to be there at home when they come, having to jump through all the hoops she's got to fix what you damaged. She said, what if you did more than right? What if you did more than she expected? What if you did more than just apologize and pay for the repair? And I said, like what? And so we came up with this strategy that night I would go back with a handwritten apology note, that not only would I offer to pay for it, but that I would make the arrangements to call the window and glass company to come and make the repair. I would take care of the charges. And just for the finishing touch, I took along a plate of my mother's delicious chocolate chip cookies. And the lesson there was, sometimes when things go wrong, it can be the most right thing you ever do if you do more than right, more than what they expect in that kind of a situation. And that engenders not just satisfaction, but loyalty. And that was the big lesson, is there's a huge difference between customer satisfaction and customer loyalty. Satisfied customers are not always loyal. They're just satisfied. And loyal customers are not always satisfied. In other words, a loyal customer, when you do right, when you do more than right, when things go wrong, they stick with you because they know that you got your heart in it, you've got their best interest in mind, and you are always going to go out of your way to do more than what they expect to make it right. So there was so much packed into that one experience that I've never forgotten, is that sometimes when things don't go right, they can be the biggest opportunities to gain customer loyalty. Dave Neilman, who is the founder of JetBlue and now the airline in Brazil that he's called Azul, one of the things that Dave taught me is that some of the most valuable information you can get is by surveying your dissatisfied customers, surveying the customers where things didn't go right, and then finding out how good of a job you did at a recovery. Right? Did you do more than right? Did you do more than expected, so that they'll come back and say, yeah, things didn't go right, but man, you guys pulled out all the stops to make it work, and I'm coming back, because if that's what you do when things don't go right, then when things do go right, it must be just that much better. So a ton of just invaluable information there to then execute and build any great business.
Well, I'd say so. That is a tremendous story, and a lot can be taken away from that, and from your experience with that incident as well. Today, we're joined by Mr. Stephen J. Anderson, a sought-after speaker, author, entrepreneur, and agent for Creating Where People Mean Everything, Customer Service Culture and Organization, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, another surprise right in there in that book is what your dad tells you, and you tell us about customer satisfaction, and why isn't that enough? Do we have to get to the next level the way you did by messing up big time?
Well, I'll tell you, Eric, so as a 12-year-old, the first thing, when I finally understood this principle, I said to my dad, well, should I just go break everybody's windows so I can have the opportunity? And he laughed, and he said, well, the economics on that might not work out so well, and your customers may not be that happy, and you'll get a reputation. But it was all about understanding what they really want. So as a companion principle to that, we talked about the difference in the different types of customer feedback. You know, there's specific feedback for particular people who maybe need a more customized service, or they may need it in a way that they need it done, versus other people who give you feedback that's good for all your customers. So for example, one of my customers was one of my dad's army buddies, and he was always cutting up and making jokes and giving me a hard time. And one day he came out when I was collecting, and he said to me, you know, on rainy days, you're out there, you're in the rain with your poncho, and you're awesome because you put the paper in a plastic bag and you make sure that it stays dry. But he said, have you ever considered that while you're out there wet in the rain and I'm dry, I have to come out of my house and open the door and I have to pick up that paper, even though it'll be dry in the plastic, but I still have to get wet to pick up my paper. He said, have you ever thought on rainy days about putting the paper behind the screen door so that none of us get wet? And I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, is that just specific feedback for him, or does that apply to everybody? And so from that day forward, I incorporated his feedback for all of my customers and began placing those papers behind the screen doors on rainy days, not just in plastic, but in plastic behind the screen door so they didn't have to come out into the rain to get their paper. So there's different types of feedback. There's specific feedback for, you know, that will benefit just one person in their particular situation, but then there's general feedback that's good for everybody. And so how you solicit that feedback and how you get it, not just asking people, you know, how did it go or how do you like it, but really having systems that will gather feedback so you can continually be creating a continual loop of improvement in product and service.
And yet another great example and lesson on taking it to the next level with customer service. Now, there's a through line you talk about in the Bicycle Book where people mean everything. It ties together your dad and an overall message about service and what it means. You present it first as a promise, which is step one to serving others. Explain what you mean by that. Get into some of the details there.
Yeah, so the service promise is really the first step, which is what you know, what you as an organization, whether you're a one-person organization or you have hundreds of employees, it's that promise that you make to your customers, whether that's internal and you never share it with your customers, or whether you make it public, as is in the example. But what the real message here and one of the big takeaways, Eric, is that this is not just a business concept. This is a way of being. One of the things that we talk about, for example, it is one of the big concepts of a where people mean everything type of culture is I don't believe in giving back. That's a concept, a phrase that's crept into our vernacular for organizations and people who do charitable giving. And we say, well, they're giving back, organizations that give back, people that give back. And I don't believe in giving back. When you think about it, if you give something back, what did you have to do in the first place? What does it imply? Well, it implies that you took something. Took something maybe didn't belong to you. In fact, Eric, I promise you that somewhere in your childhood, that phrase got uttered, and it was not in a positive light. If you had siblings, I guarantee you had a parent that said, Eric, give that back to your brother, or give that back to your sister, right? It implies that something was taken. So I don't believe in giving back. I believe in doing good. And part of it, where people mean everything, culture and service promise, is doing good, not just from a charitable standpoint. I know you do a ton of that with your organization, not just charitable things, but it encompasses a whole way of operating as a business in doing good, in the jobs you provide, in the service you provide your community, in the stability that you provide. All of those things, there's so many things that organizations to do good that is far more encompassing than just giving back. And so one of my challenges to companies and individuals all over is stop giving back and start doing good, because the doing good mindset is so much bigger, so much broader, so much better. Start doing good.
Well, it certainly has been a pleasure to have had you today. I'm sure the listeners have enjoyed your visit with us here today. One last question. The Bicycle Book says there's a part two to the promise, and your dad let you learn it the hard way on your very first day delivering papers. Talk about this and how your paper route influenced you and the lessons you learned from it.
So along with the service promise is what we call the service standards. So it's not just what you promise, but how you propose to deliver it. So we came up in this particular instance with you have to have the right product at the right time in the right place. So you remember when you were doing your route, Eric, right? You had to have the right product, today's paper with today's stuffers, with all the stuff that was supposed to be at the right time. We had a service standard of 6 p.m. as an afternoon newspaper, so 6 p.m. delivery, and in the right place, which was in the same place every day, so they didn't have to go look for their paper, right? Product, right place, right time. And so every product or service, along with their promise, then it becomes incumbent to then define what the service standards are. What are the standards that we're going to live up to, that we're going to commit ourselves to as we deliver that service? So service product, service promise, service standard, those are the first two building blocks of what we call a where people mean everything type of culture. So when I put this together, Eric, we defined 12 really key lessons, key principles. This is all written in the form of a story, like I said, a biographical business novel. So it's a story, but what makes it unique is the story then, each chapter is capped with a what we call get peddling section, which is then the practical application of the lessons learned in the story and how, as an organization, you can apply those. So it is a roll up your sleeves. Here's what you're going to do, step one, step two, step three, to apply each of the principles. So it's meant for everybody to have a good read, an enjoyable read, but then roll up their sleeves and get the work done to build these 12 key principles for an amazing where people mean everything type of customer service culture.
Once again, Mr. Anderson, really tremendous to have you with us here today. And I'm sure listeners want to know how they can get more information on yourself and also any of your books. Where's the best place to do so?
So the best place with the most options is my website, Stephen with a V, Stephen, the letter J, Anderson with an O-N, so StephenJAnderson.com. The bicycle book is available in hardbound, softbound, audio, and digital, so any format, depending on what your reading preference is. All those are housed right there on the website. We'll direct you to the place where you can get it in any format. And again, we recommend that every member of the team, whatever your team is, has one of these. You read it, you discuss it, you do the work together to create a where people mean everything type of culture. So StephenJAnderson.com, and you can get all the information and all the different options in every format.
Well, you've certainly got the bases covered. Again, Mr. Anderson, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric.
And thank you. We've been speaking with Mr. Stephen J. Anderson, a sought-after speaker, author, entrepreneur, and agent for creating where people mean everything, customer service culture, and organization. And for all the details, visit StephenJAnderson.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.